or disagree.
Snap elections in Greece held on the 25th of January led to a historic win for the anti-austerity Syriza party. The outgoing Prime Minister, Antonis Samaras, has admitted defeat and congratulated the left-wing party leader, Alexis Tsipras, who wants to renegotiate Greece's debt and reverse many of the austerity measures accepted by Greece in a series of bailouts since 2010. Hello, welcome to the program. I'm Marina Joshi, and to discuss the significance of the Syriza win and the implications of that for Greece and the rest of the EU, for the matter, I have invited John Namikas, who's director of the Research Institute for European and American Studies, and Patrick Young, who is an international finance analyst and head of DB Advisors. Well, thank you very much, both of you, Patrick and John, for joining me today to discuss this issue, which everyone is talking about right now. And this election, of course, was closely watched across the bloc, across the EU, and we've got some reaction to the Syriza win already from other EU countries. But before we go into that, I'd like to ask both of you what you personally think of the win. And let's begin with John, who is in Greece.
I would like to say that the ongoing, Prime Minister, Mr. Alexis Tsipras, made an outstanding, victory. And what's happening is that hope prevails anger. So many people, who want to vote were thinking too much about what's going on in these last 6 years of recession. And they wanted to see, that their sacrifices is having some, long-term advantage. So they wanted to see some light in the tunnel. So Mr. Tsipras, even today, he wanted to form a small cabinet with the independent Greeks. And the most upsetting things that we could read in the newspaper is that he's going to form a small cabinet, no more than 10 ministers, compared with the last, conservative government, which has more than 45. So what we see now, we're looking, a determined leader who wanted to make some reform in a short time.
And Patrick, what are your thoughts of this election?
It's going to be an incredible challenge what's going on here, because ultimately, of course, this is the result that the outside world told us could never happen. I mean, a year ago when Mr. Tsipras was starting to rise up in the polls, we were being told, oh no, Syriza is just a protest vote, it can never become coherent. And here we are a year later where he's won really a stunning victory, and nobody can take that away from him. He's an incredibly charismatic individual. I'm not sure I can agree with any of his economic politics, but at the same point in time, it's clear why he's come along, because Greece is in a wretched economic position. He offers hope, he offers determination, and certainly the first 24 hours have been very, very exciting. This is a stunning position to see the breakdown of the cabinet from what previously used to be a leviathan of ministers into effectively a small family business. And we all know, where are the Greeks most powerful? When they run small family businesses.
All right, Patrick, thanks so much for this. And yes, as you rightly mentioned, both of you, that hope triumphed here, and the Greeks have been waiting for the light at the end of the tunnel, because they've been through so much over the past few years. Well, as I said earlier, this election was closely monitored in other EU member states, where there's a feeling that Syriza victory could encourage radical leftist parties across Europe. So, John, who are Syriza and what do they stand for? Tell us a bit more about them.
I'm so happy to listen that, Dr. Varoufakis, who is a well-known economist studying the United States and then all over the places, he's a very pragmatist economist, all right? From what I have read it, his book. So he's going to drive, the Greek economy and advise Mr. Tsipras to be as realist as he can, because, as you know, the previous government has already signed some agreement. So this agreement, with the Troikas are going to be in force. I mean, the new government has, to follow the last agreement. It doesn't mean that the new government came, so everything is passed. No, no, no. The point is that Mr. Varoufakis could advise Mr. Prime Minister, Mr. Tsipras, how to find a way with Troika to be more pragmatic, more, to understand the problem we face in Greece. Another thing related to the EU, I think Mr. Tsipras is going to promote the EU-Russian relations, because, as you know, the Greek farmers suffer a lot from this EU sanction against Russia. And I was in Moscow 3 weeks ago, and I saw it with my eyes that, the northern part of Greece, especially the farmers, which exported so much agricultural product to the Russian society, this was a big loss for us. So I think that, again, realistically, Mr. Tsipras will promote Greek interests, of course, with the United States, because it's a superpower. We are a member of NATO, we are a member of the EU. It's here. But at the same time, he's going to look over the Greek interest related to the Russians and the EU. Mr. Tsipras is going to hire some people outside his political arena, and he might ask some young scientist from who's not a member of any political party to participate in the decision making. This is something new, but let's wait until we see it next week.
That's true, absolutely, because as Patrick said earlier, we can see a very charismatic leader here who promises a lot, but so far we haven't seen very much of what he can do. So there's a lot of anticipation. Again, there's a lot of hope there. But what's interesting here, as you already briefly mentioned, is how he's going to build ties and relationships with different people, different parties, different groupings. And of course, he has to set up his cabinet there. And it will be very important to see who he nominates and who he picks to fill in different positions there. But, you know, I would like to discuss more here their relations with the EU and the Troika, who are the biggest international lenders of Greece at the moment. They are the European Union, International Monetary Fund, a European Central Bank. But the leader of the Syriza party, Tsipras, said that the Troika for Greece is the thing of the past. What sort of consequences might this position have?
Amidst the optimism that we've seen an incredible change in Greek regimes and finally the killing off, I suppose, of the post-war status quo, the problem is we really do have a difficulty when it comes to the economics and particularly the relationship to the European Union. I would liken it to the old logic puzzle. You know, what happens when you have an immovable cannonball and it hits an unbreakable post? Because that's exactly where we are at the moment. Everybody really believes that the EU is going to not bend or not going to break. And the cannonball, which is Mr. Tsipras, equally is felt, well, the way he campaigned, that it wouldn't break. Now, the European Union, they're gambling everything. These are the same people, of course, the Troika and the European Union, who told us a few years ago that there was never going to be a Greek breakout, that it would bailout, that there would only be a 30 billion Greek bailout, that there would only be a 60 billion Greek bailout, and, you know, 120 plus billion euros later, they told us that there was never going to be a Syriza government, and Mr. Tsipras would only be a flash in the pan. So everything the European Union has said so far has turned out to be wrong, and they've had to eat their words. But will they actually bend this time round? Because it's really, really difficult. If we look across Europe, you can see, fundamentally, the austerity that was writ large by, effectively, Mrs. Merkel on behalf of German banks in Ireland was incredible. The Irish took their medicine, they've restructured their economy in an incredible way, very, very successfully, but they're still burdened with essentially the same sort of Greek-style debt burden. I mean, the Greeks are up to 177% of GDP. 60% of GDP, debt-to-GDP ratio, is regarded as being a sort of reasonable high-end norm. Therefore, you have a problem, because if a single cent more is given by the European Union or by the Troika to Greece, the other remaining nations are going to demand equivalent measures.
Sure.
And that is, in no short measure, the Mediterranean states, France, Italy, and of course even places like Spain, Portugal, and indeed the Irish, as I mentioned. And finally, think about it this way. Every household in Germany effectively has subsidized the Greek economy to the equivalent of 700 euros. That's quite a lot of money.
You know, Patrick, just giving our listeners some idea of how much money has been given to Greece. In 2010, the EU and International Monetary Fund granted Greece a massive 110 billion euro loan, disbursed in installments, of course. By 2012, it was clear that more help was needed. So another loan was granted of 130 billion euros. Of course, under its obligations to the international lenders, the Greek government had to enact very tough austerity measures that would certainly lead to cuts in social spending, healthcare, education, and other public services. And this in return led to a situation where now one third of Greeks are on the brink of poverty. Unemployment is more than 25%. And opposition to austerity has delayed many reforms. So unlike Ireland, there has been a lot of opposition there to austerity. I mean, yes, economists like to compare these two countries, Ireland and Greece, and how Ireland, for example, done well with austerity. In Greece, it was a different situation. But why was it different in Greece then? John, maybe you could tell us more about that.
Well, one point that I would like to have your attention to that, because I listen to Patrick quite well, you know, is that never underestimate, you know, the factor of security, right?
Yes.
Because even though we have so many problems, you know, in financial crisis, and Patrick is right, I fully agree with him, the point is means that Greece is a gate to illegal migrants to the Europe. Never forget that. So the point, what I think, is Greece urgently needs, you know, a Department of Homeland Security in order to coordinate intelligence sharing among the law enforcement and intelligence security. Why I say that? I say that because, you know, we are like a hub for a transition area to the jihadists and terrorists that come from Greece, through Greece, and go to everybody one. And so don't forget that without security, there is no development, because who's going to come here to invest in Greece if his security is not, you know, is not guaranteed to the people? Security reform is a priority national security issues right now, number one. And number two, except the economic reform, we need urgently security, you know, reform in intelligence community security. We need it today. The point is that the Prime Minister, you know, Tsipras, is going to get the Ministry of Public Administration, the Ministry of Citizen Protection, the Ministry of Interior, getting one in order to have a better coordination.
John, absolutely. I agree with you here. Security is a problem, not just in Greece, but for the rest of the bloc. It is a big, big, big problem with the incoming immigrants from Libya via Italy. But this is a long-term problem that has to be resolved when you have a cabinet of ministers, when you know the excitement of this election win sort of calmed down, and you yes. have to start rolling your sleeves and start working. Before that happens, I mean, let's look at the possible scenarios there in the political arena here in Greece. I mean, we learned that Tsipras has already formed a coalition with Independent Greeks Party. Now, how long will this coalition stand, and will it stand, actually? What do these two parties have in common, and where do they go separate ways? They might go separate ways in immigration, by the way.
Let me tell you something. Mr. Kamenos, who is the leader of the Independent Greeks, and he managed to have, you know, 13 members of the parliament in the new parliament, is a man that always, you know, fighting for national issues. So when he decided to talk to Mr. Tsipras, the new prime minister, he said, I'm going to collaborate with you, but we need the Independent Greek said that we have some red line. And the red line has to do, you know, with the immigration issues, with, you know, national issues, with, you know, the relationship with the neighbor countries. So Mr. Kamenos is going to be, I think from what I hear, the new defense minister. That's what he said. He wanted to be a minister of defense. So this, the chemistry between Mr. Tsipras and Mr. Kamenos is very good. What's happened after Mr. Tsipras find out that he's going to, he can form a government, he called immediately Mr. Kamenos, and this morning they just sat together and they said, listen, we are going to have, you know, a coalition together with you, and I think this coalition is going to be for the long, long term.
Okay, let's look at the closer prospects here. I mean, looking at the relationship with other neighbors, as you mentioned, how prepared are the European leaders to compromise with Tsipras and renegotiate on the terms of the Greek recovery? Patrick, do you think this is possible
yes.
at all?
I think it's going to be incredibly difficult, Marina, because really the problem is not with Mr. Tsipras. It's not actually with Greece per se. The difficulty is the fundamentally bad construction of the euro currency itself. And therefore, the Brussels bubble, which includes the national governments overall, particularly in Northern Europe, have got themselves into this really a thronging crowd mania, is the only way I can describe it. They're incapable of thinking outside of the bubble. They don't realize the horrible poverty that's being rent asunder the civilization within Greece and within Spain, where massive numbers of youth are unemployed, circa 50% or more. That's a wretched situation. And how on earth anyone can ever be in politics and allow that to happen, I find disgusting. But therefore, they are up against it because they're trying to save the overall euro currency. And at the end of all of their calculations, what they say is, well, Greece is just 2%. Now, I think what's very interesting is that all the way up until relatively recently, when it became clear that Mr. Tsipras was likely to win this election, the European Union have always said it's impossible to leave the euro. No one can leave the euro. Greece is locked. They're locked into the membership of the club, etc. Now what's suddenly happened is we're getting subtle messages saying, well, you know, Greece could decide to leave, blah, blah, blah. And the truth is that, you know, Greece has got a very long and significant history of debt defaults. And it seems to me that the inevitable is probably going to be the case, that it's going to be a case of Mr. Tsipras must either bend himself double and effectively end up joining the club of the established blob politicians of the European Union, or he's going to actually have to do something more akin to what he promised in his manifesto and in his campaigning. And if he does that, it's going to be incredibly difficult for him to keep Greece in the euro.
Let's have a short break now, and after that we will continue to discuss the Greek elections. Hello and welcome back. I'm Marina Joshi, and we continue to talk about the situation in Greece and the results of the elections and, of course, the implications of those elections. And with me on the phone line today I have John Naumikas, who is director of the Research Institute for European and American Studies, and Patrick Young, who is an international finance analyst and head of DV Advisors. We heard earlier from the IMF chief, Christine Lagarde, who said that Greece cannot get any special treatment. So obviously this is a very, very tough position here. What are the likely actions of Tsipras here? I mean, is he going to deliver on these promises, you think, Patrick?
I think ultimately he's going to try and deliver on his promises, because I think the realization is that if he can come as one charismatic man amongst 18 million or 20 million Greeks from nowhere in 2 years to lead a major political grouping, he must realize that if he doesn't deliver, then the Greek people are going to look for their next Mr. Tsipras to manage to bring them out of this trouble. Look at the way they've destroyed the PASOK. At one point in time, the whole of Greek politics was nothing but PASOK. And now they're barely a bit party fighting it out with the neo-fascists at the tail end of the field. That's an example of just how angry and volatile the Greek electorate are. And therefore, I think it's not unreasonable that if Mr. Tsipras makes too many compromises, obviously he has to be a little bit pragmatic now he's in office, but if he makes major compromise, I think the electorate are going to be out to get somebody who they believe are going to alleviate them from their economic woes.
Well, John, what's the mood on the ground? I mean, what is the attitude of Greeks towards being part of the EU, having euro as their currency? What's the feeling there?
Okay, the Greeks, first of all, don't want to leave euro, right? They want to be in the eurozone. No problem with that. Let me be a little bit more optimistic, because I agree with Patrick. As an economist, he knows better than that. But let me tell you something. Mr. Tsipras has a big challenge. If he's going to leave nepotism and allow, you know, young scientists to be evaluated and to fulfill, you know, the jobs that he wanted to assign to them, I can see Greece tomorrow be another country. The point is, you need to have the right people and the right jobs without nepotism, without, you know, ask for political loyalty to the party. They need to be qualified for the job they apply. And Mr. Tsipras can give, you know, this vision to them. If he does that, this is going to be the first time that a prime minister like Mr. Tsipras, a charismatic one, will allow people outside his political party or any other party to fulfill the job. Number one. Number two, evaluation. If he can make evaluation, he's going to make a tremendous, you know, support to Greece. Because most of the people, anytime that the Greek government changes from one to another, they need the 500 party members to fulfill government. That was a big mistake, because most of the people who were there, they did not have the qualification and they did not know what to do. Now, Mr. Tsipras said, I wanted everyone who has fulfilled the job to be qualified, to be evaluated, and to have a fast result. If he does that, if his words become reality, and the Greek diaspora and the 200,000 people that they left Greece to migrate to the other country, not just to find the job, but to find, you know, a place that they can prove that what they have studied, Greece is going to be a different country. So we are happy and we are optimistic that this charismatic leader is going to make a change. But we have to wait to see. Tsipras won the voters between 33 to 55 years old.
Well, certainly young people, because they are hit hardest by the austerity, by the crisis in Greece, and there's 25% unemployment. And it's the young people that can get into the job market, can get their first jobs and opportunities. So, yes, they are pinning a lot of hopes on the charismatic Tsipras, as you said. And, that explains why they voted so actively for him in the past elections. But what's interesting here is to compare how people in Greece feel about the elections and how people outside of Greece, but within the EU, see the elections. And a lot of European leaders show their reservations here. For example, British Prime Minister David Cameron, whose country is not a member of the Eurozone, said that the result of the elections in Greece would, quote, increase economic uncertainty across Europe. No. Also, well, as I said earlier, the IMF chief, Christine Lagarde, has said Greece cannot get any special treatment. And in France, though, the right-wing National Front has hailed Syriza's victory, while the socialist president, François Hollande, was more restrained. So we see a very differing reaction here. Patrick, what are your thoughts on the reaction from the EU to the win of Syriza in Greece?
Look, the reaction of the EU leaders is entirely unsurprising, because they come from a particular coterie, the blob of the European Union's existing politicians, and the last thing they want to see is radical upheaval, because they think it could come to their capital and could come to their job next. Therefore, it's entirely unsurprising that they would make blandishments in favor of the European Union, But the point is, unfortunately, every time they usher these blandishments, then we're only getting one step towards the next Syriza appearing in another country. And by the way, I'm no supporter of Syriza. I think they're economically incoherent beyond all possible belief. Their numbers do not add up. But I totally understand how a man with the charisma of Mr. Tsipras, who's an outsider in the political system and has managed to charm the people, can come along and win elections so quickly, simply because the European Union and the Troika have behaved in a completely moronic fashion in terms of punishing the Greek people because they've had 50 or 60 years of, frankly, rubbish government, which was eternally corrupt, unproductive, and largely useless for the state.
So it's not then justified to compare Greece and Ireland here, is it?
No, I mean, I think it's very different because the two things are, first of all, Ireland was essentially a country that had been irredeemably poor. It struggled after independence. It really got itself going. And in a certain way, it did very, very well out of the European Union and the funding mechanisms to propel it to a really incredibly high standard of living. The difference is, I think, that also you have to look at Ireland as being still a very, very flexible market system, so therefore it allows people to be made unemployed and be re-employed very easily. The difficulty with Greece is you've got an incredible clunking blob-like bureaucracy that is strangling the life out of enterprise. And that's one of the reasons why you end up going to capital cities in the rest of the world. You go to places like Sydney, London today, where I had a delightful sandwich made for me in a little Greek delicatessen, because that's where Greeks have all ended up emigrating to, because they were strangled and stifled by the bureaucracy. And we're seeing it even to this day. At the moment, apparently in the last year, there have actually been something like 1,000 Greeks have emigrated to Poland. Now, there is no country, and I love Poland and I invest in it, but there is no way you can remotely say that Poland offers any of the comforts of the delightful Mediterranean climate. If Greeks are having to go and live in Poland, that demonstrates just how dire the situation has been, and that is through 50, 60 years of enshrined, frankly, rubbish government, which was supported by outside factions, which was given money in order to uphold, indeed, the security position of Greece, which is very, very important, but was ultimately squandered in terms of overall prosperity. And that's what Mr. Tsipras is coming in as a reaction to.
But then again,
now they're bound to the euro.
Yes, well, Patrick, that sounds very good, of course, but then also takes two to tango, as they say. It's also important for the people to realize that without tightening their belts, without agreeing to some austerity, they cannot move forward. And the question here is, are the Greeks ready for that?
Well, let me say two things. One thing is that actually, to be fair to many Greek people, normal people have actually borne a brunt of incredible austerity. And therefore, I think one of the things which is disgusting is the way that Greek austerity has been handed down. It has actually helped a lot of the bureaucrats, a lot of the people higher up the chain have been basically kept in situ. There are certain monopolies and job positions in Greece which I think are ludicrously overpaid. But overall, most people are not sharing in any way, shape or form in that sort of degree of prosperity. So there are arguments to be made, and I think they're very fair, that disproportionate amounts of the austerity actually did fall on the poorer end of society. And that is wrong. Everyone needs to ultimately pay their fair share in the course of making a modern Greece. And that's something that nobody actually does, as you can see by popping by the roads near the airport outside of Athens and seeing how many luxury cars are in the showroom windows in a country that apparently doesn't have enough money to remotely manage to justify that sort of expenditure.
Sure. But the question here is, what is the way out? If we see the EU and the Troika, that is not likely to budge here on negotiations, so with giving more money to Greece or easing the bailout terms. And then we have this new charismatic leader who a lot of people believe in and have hopes and faith in. What's going to happen here? I mean, if these two are not going to see each other halfway, John, what do you think?
Okay, well, first of all, I fully agree with Patrick. He knows exactly what's going on. Number one, I was today in Syntagma Square, downtown Athens, and I was very happy to see a little bit smiling and young people. People started to smile. I never see that in the last 6 years. Everybody was depressed. So something's moving. Number two, you know, Patrick said quite well that corruptions is one of the biggest problems we face in Greece. Corruption in the public administration. And the bureaucracy here is incredible. So if this charismatic prime minister tries to reform a little bit the bureaucracy, make things simple. I mean, just keep a tax bill, a tax system, the same for the 2 years. So diaspora is in UK, in Germany, in the United States, Canada. There are Greek people who want to come here to invest, to help the country, to get out of the recession, but they find so many problems with bureaucracy, with bribes, with corruption, and they are desperate and depressed that they leave. Imagine what Patrick said. If we try to reform a productive bureaucracy fighting corruption, you know, investment will come from the Greek diaspora. But one of the biggest problems besides corruption is nepotism in the Mediterranean.
Yes, but, you know, this could be a cultural problem that exists in the Mediterranean countries, not just in Greece. I mean, Italy could be another example of that.
Yes.
But do you think it's likely to be eradicated with a new person in power? It may take centuries. It may take more than his term in office to get rid of that.
No. It's not going to take centuries. It's just the problem we face today is a systemic problem. If Mr. Tsipras proves what exactly he said and he show it in the first 2 months, he's going to win. The point is, people looking at him, we vote for him, but the point is, want him to do things faster and to believe what he says. If we can say to the Greek young people, to everyone in Greece, I will give you an opportunity and I don't care what party you believe or whatever, what is your ideology. I care less about that. I give you an opportunity, I'm going to evaluate you, but I want to see result. If Mr. Tsipras has a Greek heart and a brain who thinks an Anglo-Saxonic term without underestimating, you know, the Greek identity, we are going to win.
Well, Patrick, as we see, there's a lot of optimism in Greece because people obviously were driven by desperation to so many different extremes there. And they obviously see Tsipras as light at the end of the tunnel, someone who's going to put an end to their sufferings, to their problems, and lead them forward. But just looking at some of the analysis that we have on the net that come from different politicians and economists, there is still, I mean, my feeling is, correct me if I'm wrong or feel free to disagree with me, that there's a lot of reserve on the part of other Europeans here regarding the personality of Tsipras, saying that actually the win of the Syriza might be a disaster for Europe. To what extent do you agree or disagree with that?
Look, the simple situation is that Europe has been a disaster for Europe. The EU is utterly dysfunctional. It has driven multiples of its population to the edge of poverty. You've got Mediterranean unemployment, not just in Greece, but also in Italy, Spain, Portugal, all running around 50% or more. You've got 20-25% unemployment in the places like Italy as well as Greece. I mean, those are Great Depression levels. So really, the difficulty that I see is that Mr. Tsipras is really only the man who just, effectively what he's saying is the emperor has no clothes. Therefore, the empire is obviously going to be really, really upset. And therefore, we reach, what is the denouement of this whole situation? Well, I suppose if we want to look at our Greek literature, in one way, Mr. Tsipras has a Herculean task ahead of him if he's going to succeed. On the other hand, what we know is that usually dealing with the European Union ends up being Sisyphean. Sisyphus was the man who was doomed for eternity to roll a boulder all the way up to the top of a mountain, at which point in time it would slip out of his grasp and roll all the way back down again. That's where we're ending up here. There is an incredible fundamental difficulty at the core of Europe because there is conflict now between North and South, led by the Germans in the North and alongside the Dutch and other nations. The Mediterranean nations have got a completely different way of how they view the future of how they're going to grow or develop their economies from swingeing recessions. And that means to me that Mr. Tsipras is really, maybe in some ways, just a straw man, but he is certainly a core factor. He's a message to the European Union that Brussels must change now, or else there will be no future European Union.
Well, as you said, we can learn a lot of wisdom from the Greek literature there. Let's hope that the politicians surrounding Tsipras will use that wisdom too. Well, I would like to share optimism of the Greek people who voted for Syriza and who actually want to see at last the light at the end of the tunnel and want to see the end of their sufferings and problems there. So let's hope that Tsipras is that person who will take them out of the darkness to some better, hopefully, times there. For now, though, I'd like to thank both of you, John and Patrick, for talking to me today. And on the phone line, we had John Nomikas, who's director of the Research Institute for European and American Studies, and Patrick Young, who's an international finance analyst and head of DV Advisors. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Agree or disagree?